If you would, please reach into your bulletins and bring out the white sheet that's in the center, which has the message notes and the scriptures that we will be reading through. It's translated on one side in Chinese and on the other side in English. Today's message is the last in a series that we've been going through for almost a year and three quarters, probably closer, maybe not quite 2 years, but maybe a year and 10 months, about the Gospel of Mark, the good news of Jesus from what we call the Gospel of Mark. And so we've worked systematically through it, and in order to finish it in time, I've decided to condense the last two chapters into a section I'm calling The Last Words of Jesus. And actually, it's the beginning of a series of six messages called The Last Words, describing the last words of people throughout Scripture. And if we understand last words, sometimes, we think about what we want to say that's really important, final words to people. God says those words are important, and He's recorded them for our instruction and our learning. So the last words of Jesus is a very important way for us to be able to prepare for even today's communion. So I'm going to read these, but I'm going to also summarize what they mean. From Mark chapter 14, verses 48 to 50, Jesus asked them, these people who had come to arrest him, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there among you teaching every day. But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me." Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. The scene is a horrendous scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus has been praying and preparing, and he faces arrest. And imagine this bowl, what he's described in John and some other places in Matthew, the cup of suffering that he is taking out of love for us and love for God. He is taking this bowl of suffering, and into this bowl, the first thing that goes is arrest and desertion. Desertion by those who said they loved him and wanted to follow him. He faced that again because of love for God and love for us. Let's go on to Mark 14, 61 to 64. "But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?' Jesus said, 'I am,' using the name of God, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, 'Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?' 'Guilty,' they all cried. 'He deserves to die.'" This late night, early morning trial that should never have been done, actually violating many of the laws of the Jewish people, was held in order to convict Jesus in an unjust way. An unjust trial was the next part of the cup of suffering that Jesus faced. Going on to verse 72 of chapter 14. "And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you ever know me.' And he," Peter, "broke down and wept." Jesus had predicted that Peter, even though he was bold and said that he would never desert Jesus, that he would actually do so, and gave him the sign that the rooster would crow twice, and at that time, he will have already denied Jesus three times. And so the next ingredient in the bowl or cup of suffering is denial by a precious friend. On into Mark 15, verses 2 to 5. "Pilate asked Jesus, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Pilate was the Roman procurator, the Roman governor, set there to watch over their vanquished kingdom, this kingdom of Israel that was under slave rule by the Romans. And so in the middle of him trying Jesus for death, preparing to put him to death, there were false accusations repeated around Jesus. These accusations claiming that he was not who he said he was, claiming that he did all sorts of horrible things, none of which was true. Jesus was innocent. In Mark 15, verses 34 and 37 to 38, "Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?' Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Jesus repeated a scripture verse that was predicted for the Messiah. "My God, why have you abandoned me?" And he was left alone to suffer. We often think of Jesus facing the crucifixion as the worst experience, the worst suffering. That was not what he was sweating blood over when he prayed. What he was sweating blood over when he prayed before he went to the cross was this moment when he would be separated from his Father in heaven. And he had known only intimate fellowship with his Father. But when he was separated because of taking on our sin and this cup of suffering, he experienced loneliness, absolutely being alone, separated from his Father. And again, he did that because of love for God and love for us. But there is hope. We know that he eventually rose from the dead after he was crucified. But the one hope is at the last part of that verse, when it says, "The curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." That temple was a thick separation between the people and the Holy of Holies, the place where only God and his presence would dwell, which was separated and only could be gone into when a priest was prepared. But at the moment when Jesus died, that separation between us and a holy God was torn apart, and we have the ability to be forgiven and to enjoy fellowship with God. Salvation happened for all of us who believe at that moment. Rising from the dead was just an added bonus because he showed us what would happen for those who believe. We have now experienced what it means to enter the Holy of Holies, to be in God's presence forever, and have that ability to enjoy true fellowship with him. When we think about what Jesus did out of love for God and love for us, he faced this injustice, this abandonment, because of his love for God and his love for us. And not out of obligation, not because of some strange way of trying to earn God's favor after he has done this gracious act, out of thanksgiving, out of joy, out of overflowing love for this Savior who has given himself and taken this cup of suffering for us. We know that on the cross, all of those things were nailed forever so that we would not have to face the same kind of separation. And because of that, we also can face injustice and give mercy. We have that ability because God dwells in us. Where are you called to be able to share God's mercy and justice? How do you live that out? Do you show love and grace to a friend or an enemy? Do you serve faithfully in a job, which is perhaps not an easy one, but because God called you and said, I want you there as my witness? Do you perhaps give funds to those who are trying to take women and children out of human trafficking, seeing justice come into those situations? God's mercy and perfection and love and grace. Do you make choices about going on mission trips to other places? Are you willing to say, God, my life is yours. Take me wherever you may want me to go. I give to you my future, my present, and trust you for all the ways that you're going to work in that. How do you live out God's mercy and justice? Where do you go? Where do you go that perhaps others would not go? I hope we all know where we might go and what we might do. But God is always faithful in giving us direction. How can we live out God's mercy and justice wherever we may be, in this church and in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our jobs, at our homes, even in our suffering? If for some of us we are facing suffering and difficulty, how can we live out God's mercy and justice? How can we carry that into those places? For Debbie and I, one of those decisions resulted in us choosing to live among women who were homeless addicts, women with children who had been separated from their children while they were in jail. Learning how to love them, how to listen to them, how to deal with all their baggage, but to exhibit God's mercy and justice. Even when in the middle of the night, we had to deal with parts of their past trying to creep up on them. Some of the issues. It was not pretty from the world's perspective, but from God's perspective, any life surrendered to Him out of love and sharing His mercy and justice is a beautiful thing. We experienced far more blessings than those women did when we watched over that program and lived there with them. I ask you again, where is God calling you? How are you called to share His mercy and justice? Take a moment in silence now and ask the Lord what it is He may want you to do that you're not already doing in order to bring His justice and mercy into situations that are dark and deadly. So let's just bow our heads and spend some time with the Lord. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for such love that you have exhibited for us. Thank you that there is no more separation as long as we believe and have come to you in faith. Thank you that we do not have to strive and work towards some kind of religious perfection. We simply fall into your arms and thank you, Lord, that you accept us and call us to live like you and enable us to do so. I pray for my sisters and brothers here that you would bless them with insight through your Holy Spirit. And even as we continue our service and celebrate communion, the Last Supper in which you prepared your disciples for these last words that you would speak. May the last word in our hearts be your proclamation that you are risen, that you are alive, and that you will come and be with us, and that you will take us to where we will where we belong with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.